Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can always have us in your ear and pocket by downloading the app on your mobile device from the App Store or Play Store. Or if you are just sitting at home listening to us through your computer, you can go to www.guardiantalkradio.com and click the live stream button. We are continuing. These weeks have been amazing because we've had so much incredible Bahamian talent visiting us or also living here. But right now, a lot of the people that are home for the show and for Christmas coming into the studio to talk about their work in the National Exhibition, otherwise known as NE9. It's our ninth national exhibition, and it is entitled The Fruit and the Seed. And the call went out to artists to create work that spoke to how they were being socially active in their environment to create a world and a country of more empathy and understanding. And I think what's exciting about this show, and actually has been done already in several national exhibitions, is that we're trying to embrace other forms of creative expression as well as visual culture. And so we have poets in the studio, poets and papermakers, letterpress printers.
Professional letters.
Professional, but yeah, in the studio with us tonight. And there is Sonia Farmer, who's been on the show before. So welcome back, Sonia.
Thank you, Amanda, for having me again.
Yeah, of course. And actually, Charlotte, you've been on the show too.
I have.
You have. So welcome back, Charlotte.
Thank you for having me again.
And you've both come from cold, miserable places.
Oh,
maybe,
yes.
maybe not miserable in every way, but certainly weather-wise. And you're back, and we were all at the opening, and we've taped the show the night after the opening, so we're all feeling a little little struggly this morning. Mm-hmm. But it was a great opening. We had 550 people come out. And
that's
I think
awesome.
A lot of that is about this work we're all trying to do, which is to be open, to expose ourselves, to lay our bellies open so that we can have better trust relationships with everybody.
Absolutely.
And especially people different than ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sonia, let's talk a little bit about your work. Let's start with you.
Sure.
So, yeah. You're going to do a little reading for us?
Yes, I can. I can. Should I discuss the work a little and then do a reading?
Let's discuss, discuss the work a little and then do a reading.
Okay. So the piece that I have done is actually a collaborative piece. Both of us,
mm-hmm.
Charlotte
both
and I.
Collabs, yeah,
yeah, we both, yeah. Not with each other, but with other people,
which
other
is, again,
writers.
Another way to open our legs. It's not always easy as an artist to do that, right?
Yeah.
To collaborate.
Yeah.
And that's a way of kind of opening yourself up. And,
exactly. Yeah. And it was really a rewarding experience. The piece that I worked on with my collaborator, who is Shivani Ramlachan. She is a Trinidadian poet who has received a lot of international praise for her collection that came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone Knows I Am a Haunting, which was published by Peepal Tree Press. It was nominated for the Felix Dennis Prize for Best First Collection by the Forward Arts Foundation, which
wow.
is really exciting. Yeah,
wow.
it was shortlisted. She didn't get it, but to be shortlisted with such
yeah.
major
also,
other names.
I was
going
to say, to be shortlisted.
Like Dennis Smith. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I mean, so it's really exciting.
That's like getting the silver medal at the Olympics. I always feel bad for those people because I'm like, it's like you feel like a loser, but you made it to the Olympics.
I know, and she read, you know, she went there to the ceremony and
yeah.
got to share her words.
Yeah,
and it's just like such a special moment, I think, for all Caribbean writers when one
yeah.
of us gets something,
yeah.
you know, we're
it's
all like, yes, you know, like we made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the book when it first came out, and I've known Shivani for a while, and I've admired her work. She's admired mine. We've met a few times at the Bocas Literary Arts mm-hmm. Festival, Literary Festival in Trinidad. And I read the work, and inside of the book, there's a series of seven poems called The Red Thread Cycle. And what usually happens sometimes when I read poems by other people, I just see like a book or a print in my brain. So I make books by hand, and I
mm-hmm.
use letterpress printing and hand paper mm-hmm. making and hand bound books to make my work.
Mm-hmm. That are all just so beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really love the physicality it gives words. So either my own words or other
mm-hmm.
people's words. And with Shivani, I read the first poem, and I just saw the book. And then I saw all seven books, and they were all different, and I thought, I need to make these books. Like, I
mm-hmm.
have to, it's sort of like an exercising out of
mm-hmm.
my body when I become obsessed with poems or pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached her about it earlier this year, and she was so down. She was ready, and that's really an honor when other writers, like,
mm-hmm.
give their trust for me to make something physical out of their work.
Mm-hmm.
I've collaborated with a few before, and it was just so great. She said, I trust you, do what you want. And we went back and forth a little bit, but for the most part, she put total trust in me. So I made seven different books out of these seven poems called The Red Thread Cycle. Each of the poems is in a different voice, and they catalog sexual assault and its aftermath. So it's not easygoing poetry. They're very difficult. They force you to bear witness to realities that many of us face here in the Caribbean. Especially people who are voiceless.
Let's be frank, that people face everywhere.
Yeah, but yes, everywhere.
You know, with the power structures
absolutely.
Here, and especially historically.
But. Absolutely. But I think, you know, there's definitely like a Caribbean-ness in the work. And then there's a certain stigma here for sure in our space. And so I these poems were difficult, but I knew that they needed more presence, and each one of them needed a different form. So I set about creating seven different books that relate to the narrative of each particular poem, using imagery sort of culled from the language of the poem, but also the book structure interacting with the narrative of the poem. So it doesn't become quite linear, but becomes sort of like a very... confusing journey, which I think is always the experience of these traumas and then navigating the aftermath of them. So did that, and then also because it's sort of difficult to exhibit books because they're kinetic objects. So either if people handle them, they might get damaged, but if you put them behind glass, people can't engage with them the way they're meant to be engaged with. So what we decided to do, Holly Bino had this brilliant idea to exhibit the books, and then also have a recording of Shivani reading her work. So at the gallery, you can come and see each of the seven books opened in different formats.
And they're all different, the books.
They're
it's really
all different
amazing.
Sizes
like you think of
a book,
like books, even, I think, not the. Somehow, I almost don't want to use that term, because when you say book, you think of something very clear. You think of something bound, you think of something with pages. And this is like. They all
object.
Have different forms, right? And they fold, unfold. And it's almost like origami meets a book meets something else.
Exactly.
I
chose the structure sort of based on what the narrative was. So in the first poem, which is called On the Third Anniversary of the Rape, there's this mention of the Minotaur in the Labyrinth. And I decided to make a book that was sort of... had these hidden compartments and was sort of serpentine, and you had to find your way through it, which felt like being in a labyrinth. So I made those sort of decisions. And they're all letterpress printed, and they also use pressure prints and plates too for the imagery, which I drew from the poem. So one can come and see those and then hear Shivani read the poem, which is a really powerful experience. Her voice, talk about everyone knows I am a haunting. Her voice is very haunting, and I think the work together in conversation is a really exciting sort of take on the fruit and the seed, because we were thinking about, you know, the poems being a source of inspiration for making the book, and how those two things relate. Like, what is the fruit and what is the seed? What is the inspiration and what comes out of it? And how does that collaboration
and
sort
the,
of speak to these social
the
issues?
The fruit of the seed of the trauma, too, right?
Absolutely.
So it speaks to all those
on multiple levels addresses the theme. So it's really exciting.
And all these, and like you said, it's something that we didn't talk about, right? So I remember when I was young, I had when I was growing up in London with my mother, my father got moved from the Bahamas to London. We were living there. And I had a room in the basement, and there was a door to the outside world. And so, you know, I was 15, 16, and had out a lot, had a lot of friends. And so, you know, I would leave the door open. And people would come and crash on the floor. You know what? All my friends would come hang out. And my mother was always like, and you know, again, this is, I'm 53 years old. London was slightly safer than it is now. But still, it was still, my mom was always like very, and my mom was like pretty cool about a lot of things. But there was something about this, the door being open, that really had her on edge a lot. And finally, one day I was, my mother was a writer. I was looking, I was trying not to do my homework. And so I was in her office and I was just like reading stuff. Whatever I get my hands on, I read.
Yeah.
And I found some old manuscripts of hers. And I started reading this book that was written in the third person. So at first it took me a while to realize that it was her, that described her rape when she was a young mother. And this guy had come into the house because the door was open. And suddenly it all like, you know, and I talked to her about it. And I was like, why didn't you just tell me? And she was like, because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to make you scared. I didn't want to, you know, I've gotten, you know, I wrote the book. The book was my therapy. I put it in a drawer. I forgot about it. I'm
done.
You know,
right.
like I didn't want to pass that on to you. So but it was really interesting because I think even between like a mother and daughter and even between when you want to protect the person you love, it's still an unspoken thing.
Absolutely. And even if you try not to pass it on, sometimes it just happens. And then you don't have a context for why you have these sort of experiences or emotions or anxieties until you sort of find out your lineage. And then you go, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Because you inherited it through body language or through the way somebody reacts to something.
Absolutely.
Or exactly.
So, or maybe even on something deeper that you can't quite like explain or access. You know, just something even on its genetic level. These studies that are these studies that, you know, trauma is actually sort of inherited genetically. Like it does change your genome, and that's a real thing. You know.
Yeah.
Or things that people don't discuss for sure. So
and you sort of carry around.
Yeah.
So I would be very honored if you would read one of the poems for
us. Sure. So it's tough to read someone else's work. Shivani is, please, I beg whoever is listening to go and hear her read this poem herself because she is just incredible. She's an incredible reader. And of course, no one knows their work better than the poet themselves. So I do hope she forgives me for reading her work on her behalf. So this poem is the third poem in the Red Thread cycle, and it's called You Wait for 5 Years, and Then. After, you think of walking. You want to take one step farther than the riptide that nearly drowned you in 98. You were 11 then, knowing nothing about first blood, of what the moon would write on your belly, what language might barb wire a bare flank. How... Yes, you can sow protection in this space, here, a palm span beneath the thing he did to begin it. You take no one's counsel, head for the earth that might have you, hollow a pit that breathes, give pain, does not swallow. The night watches. You are turning in, tuning deeper, battering out a girl that reckons victories in pockets of white stones. You lick each pebble clear of littoral salt. Everyone's a blinded fish eye. They hoard up your pockets, and you wait for it to happen again. The first year sees you gallop. The second year finds you shattering crutches. The third year loves the shine in your teeth while you choose, for the first time, in a cane field. The fourth year flows in 40 rivers and lesser tributaries from the banks of the Karani River, where the body will be cremated according to Hindu rites. The fifth year watches you forget your fisheye stones on the breast of the lover you choose. You walk into the market undefended. Nothing drowns you when you see him again. Nothing comes to swallow. The murder you said you would make sinks. A dead gaze of blanched ore. You watch him grin, remembering.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Very, very powerful.
It's powerful. That was, I'm not supposed to have favorite books to make, but I loved making the book for that poem.
Yeah. And how do you, we've only got a minute, I have to ask you after the break, like, how do you, I'm intrigued by that process of like how you visualize a book in a different way through the language. Maybe that's something we can speak to.
Sure. When we get back.
I think we all need to gather ourselves after that reading.
Yep.
So thank you so much for that. You're listening to The Blank Canvas. You just heard Sonia Farmer speaking. She was reading a poem by Shivani Ramlishan, who's the poet with whom she collaborated on her piece in the National Exhibition entitled The Red Thread Cycle, which is a collection of 7 handmade books. And they're art pieces, and you can hear and see the poetry in them. So we encourage everyone to come to the National Art Gallery and see the National Exhibition, which is really extraordinary and has over 30 Bahamian artists, 35, I think. And that is only one of them. And we're going to go to a short break and then bring Charlotte Hannay into the conversation, another poet working with the National Exhibition. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after the show.